Shalom, Rabbi Galperin.
How are you, Ilan?
I am good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Fantastic. Baruch Hashem. Thank God. Everything is great.
That's great.
So, yep.
So, Parashat Tetzaveh.
Parashat Tetzaveh, you know, it's a interesting parasha. You know, it talks about the everlasting flame. Talking about, obviously, the menorah that was going to be kindled by Aaron and would be lit from morning till evening. And it goes towards, you know, talking about the priestly garments, what they should wear, what they shouldn't wear, and how it should be made, and so on and so forth. But very interesting, we find that in this week's Torah portion, it's the only reading in the Torah where the name of Moses is not mentioned.
Okay.
From the first parasha, from the first portion of the book of Exodus, in which obviously he was born, as he wasn't born in Bereshit,
yeah,
until in Genesis,
yeah,
until the end of the book of Numbers, it doesn't say any mention of Moses in this week's Torah portion. And how the Torah portion opens up, it says, Tetzaveh's opening words are as follows. We have thought Tetzaveh, and you
with
shall be man.
Yeah.
Right. The you is Moses, and God is telling him what to instruct the Jewish people. But the verse only says you, no name, no Moses.
Yeah.
So we see from it that Moses' name was not used.
And then again, he tells him, and you hakrev elecha et Aaron achicha.
Correct.
And
you should bring four, you should bring close to your brother.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say that, it's very ironic, you don't find that God was referring to Moses as, because a lot of times you say, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe, and God spoke to Moses saying, you know, whatever, this is what you should do.
Yeah, never, the name is always mentioned.
Correct. So the question is, why? Why was Moses' name left out? And it's very interesting. I mean, there's obviously a lot of reasons, but we'll primarily focus on two. Some explain that the day of Moses' passing, which was the seventh day of Adar, almost always occurs in this week. And the absence of his name is an appropriate symbol, if you want to say, you know, of his demise. Others suggest that people, you know, if you go and learn in the Mefarshim, in the Medrash, that it is a result of Moses' own words. Moses himself said that he should not be written in this week's Torah portion. And why? Because if you remember, the golden calf, the whole golden calf episode, that the people had sinned, and God was going to wipe them out and start over again with Moses and his own dynasty. You know, no more Jews left. Moses will be the leader. He'll start all over again.
Yeah.
And Moses defended his flock, you know, with the Jewish people before God, arguing for their forgiveness. And if not, well, Moses obviously was using very, very strong words. And if not, you will not forgive the Jews. Mechedi nam v'sipricha. Erase me from your book that you have written.
Yeah.
Those are the words that Moses told God. And Moses himself said his name should be erased from the Torah if God did not forgive the Jewish people. Now, what happened afterwards? Even though God did forgive them, he did give them a second chance, obviously, because he gave them the second set of tablets, the second Luchot.
Right.
However, the words of a tzaddik, of a righteous person, are eternal and leave an impression. And the effect of those words was that somewhere in the book, in the Torah, his name would be erased. And Moses would be missing where he normally should have appeared. So it is therefore, in the week when we remember his passing, Moses' name is gone. So it wasn't that God was deciding, okay, no, no, no. You know what? I'm going to erase you from my book. You don't deserve to be in my book. He was the greatest person alive at that period of time. Moses was the leader of the generation. He was our connection between us and God. And God is telling him, no, I don't want to have you anymore in the Torah. It was Moses himself that said, erase me if you do not forgive the Jews. So, obviously, you know, we have some answers to understanding why Moses was missing from this from the Torah. However, the Hasidic masters and commentators, which primarily commentate on the inner dimension of the Torah, goes a step further and deeper, and says, "What's in a name? Who needs a name? Does a person require a name for himself? Does he need to be known by a name? Not really, because a name is essentially for other people to be able to attract his attention.
Yeah.
So they can call him, address him. So in other words, a name is only an external handle. A vehicle, if you think about it, for others to identify or describe a person. Imagine I would be telling someone, you know that person that he looks like this, and I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, but you know Elon, that does, oh yeah, sure I know, because they're able to associate themselves with you, with your name. However, this is all outside of the person himself. Names, if you think about it, are secondary to the essence of the individual. Because the essence of every person, who he or she really is beyond any name, is beyond any title. So, if you think about it, so why is Moses' name not mentioned? Because he said, you know, erase me at the Golden Calf. Maybe because he spoke the chutzpah before Almighty. You know, he had the audacity to tell the Almighty, you don't forgive them? Absolutely not. Erase me.
Yeah.
Maybe we should think it's a punishment. So the Hasidic masters say, absolutely not. Not at all. On the contrary, this was perhaps the greatest moment in the life of our greatest spiritual leader. Why? Because what would we imagine to be Moses' finest hour? Maybe we should say receiving the Torah, leading the Jews maybe out of Exodus, splitting the sea.
Yeah.
Right? So now, would you, you know, if I would tell you now that none of these mentioned above that I just said now, receiving the Torah, splitting the sea, leading the Jews out of Exodus, were Moses' finest hour. I'm going to tell you that it's not. Because Moses, that I think, that I understand when I read the Torah, when I read the explanations, Moses' finest, most glorious, greatest moment on earth was when he stood his ground before God, pleading for his people, fighting for their forgiveness. His most brilliant, I think, shining hour was when he put his own life and future on the line and said, God, if they go, I go. If you refuse to forgive them, then erase me from your holy Torah. Because it was through Moses' total commitment towards his people that the faithful shepherd, Moses, stopped the extinction of the Jews.
That's a leader, huh?
100%, and God himself was pleased with his chosen shepherd's words. He accepted what Moses was saying. So the absence of Moses' name in this week's Torah portion is far from it, that I think at least, being a negative thing. It really carries a profound blessing. It does not say the name Moses. It doesn't. It says V'ata, and you. Because a name is only a name. But here God talks to Moses in the second person directly. You. And you represent something far deeper than I think, than a mere name. It is the you symbolizing the spiritual essence of Moses. So God wasn't saying, oh, I'm going to erase your name. But he was talking not to Moses, but to the inner essence of Moses. You. You who you are. Not your name as a secondary thing. So his unflinching commitment to his people came even at his own expense. He was willing to give up his own, you know what? If they're going to go, I'm going. I cannot handle it. I cannot deal with this. So this is the very soul of Moses, the faithful shepherd, the you that goes beyond the superficial and beyond any name could possibly encapsulate, because it's on a higher level. It represents the deepest core of his neshama, his soul, deeper than any name that could, is associated with the person.
Yeah.
So Moses' name may be missing, but his spiritual presence is felt in a way that a name could never do justice. And I think that's an incredible lesson for us to be able to, and for leaders in the world, to be able to stand up for their people. And that's what Moses did. So Moses' name, that he wasn't there, that's not a big deal. But his spiritual essence, his inner dimension of who he was, that's who God was talking to. God was talking to you. You as in who you really are, not who you are known by. And that's what I thought was very, very fascinating in why Moses' name was really erased from this week's Torah portion.
Okay, very nice.
So that's the Atatis Shaveh, and you shall command.
Now he's talking to, not just to Moses, He says, besides saying to Moses, ve'ata, 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 you can see in the parasha that they say, ve'hem yikru, ve'hem yasu, ve'asu et.
Right.
No name at all is mentioned here, besides Aharon, I think.
No. You have to talk about Nadav, Avihu, Elazar, Tamar, the sons of Aaron, however,
yeah.
The four sons, and it talks about Aaron. But it talks about more of the fact that Hayim Yikru is talking about also the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. So, yeah, if you want, you can also, you know, go a step further and say, you know, maybe Moses' name is not the only one that's missing.
Yeah, but on the other hand, he mentions their names, and then he says, Vehem, Ve'atem.
Right,
and,
right.
And Moses' name is not mentioned.
His name is not mentioned, correct. So yeah, that's
okay.
good looking into the parasha. That's very good. No, for sure.
Good.
Very good.
So Rabbi, what time's services at the
Shabbat? Shabbat comes in this week at 5:41, candle lighting time. Services is 6:00 Friday evening and 9:00 Saturday morning. And, you know, obviously we're about about a month and 10 days away, is Purim.
Yeah.
And we are going to be doing our annual Purim party for the whole Jewish community, whole community at large, this year at the JCC, the Jewish Community Center. This year, last year we did Purim in Hawaii, and we decided this year we're going to do Purim
in China.
We're going to have a beautiful, a delicious Chinese buffet dinner. It's going to be a spectacular family entertainer. There is masquerade for children in Chinese or any other Purim attire that they come. Any child that comes dressed up, regardless of what they're dressed up in, will receive a prize. We're going to do the Megillah reading at 3:30. We're going to have the, in case someone didn't hear, the Megillah with a slideshow for the kids that they can see the pictures and go through the whole story of Purim. The party's going to start at 4:00, and it is going to be March 20th is the Sunday, so it's a great day for everyone to come out. There is a cost. to help us cover our costs, even that it doesn't help us, but it defrays the cost a little bit.
Yeah.
But so we're charging it $12 an adult, $8 a child. Obviously, there's a spot, if anyone wants a sponsor, can speak to me. We did get a very nice sponsorship from Mary Kamen in honor of her brother, so that helps. So it's gonna be spectacular. It's gonna be nice. The whole room gets decorated as you're walking in a Chinese, country, but it's beautiful. So the whole community, everyone's invited, all the kids, and it's a beautiful event.
That's great.
So we invite everyone.
So Rabbi, thank you again.
No problem. Thank you. Keep up the good work. You know, I always hear always good things of, oh, I heard this on the radio, and I was changing the radio stations, and oh, all of a sudden I just heard some Yiddish music. And then, you know, it's beautiful. It's amazing. Windsor is alive and running. It's beautiful.
That's good. That's good.
So thank you, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. We'll be in touch.
Bye-bye.
Speak next week.
Next week, same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.